We are straight up at 8 o'clock, and I gotta tell you, I have two favorite times in the week, and Wednesdays at 8 o'clock is definitely one of them. And that's because we have President and CEO, award-winning President and CEO of WealthWise Financial Services, Laureen Gilbert, with us. Thank you for coming in this morning, Laureen. How are you?
Thank you, Ed. It's great to be here and doing well.
Great, great. Great to have you on the WealthWise moment this morning. A lot of things to discuss, and I almost had too many things to put on my notepad for you. But thanks for taking the time to be with us today. I'd like to start off, if we could, with the banking industry. And for years, we know that Wall Street has kind of turned up its nose at America's bank stocks. Now, the sector seems to be getting tons of love as investors eye the economic recovery. What's happening with banking?
Well, there's a lot of reasons to look at not only banking, but financials in general, as far as a sector is concerned. So it wasn't getting love because of the low interest rate environment. And for banks, they rely upon, you know, really to do better when we have an increasing rate environment, not a decreasing rate environment. And that now that we are shifting into a rising interest rate environment, then banks can make more money in a sense in every way, on, you know, interest that they make, on the loans that they make, as well as if you look more broadly just in the investment, you know, many of the big banks have an investment banking arm and even an asset management arm, in a sense, and all of those are attractive. And so so there are many other ways that the banks and the financials can make money. And so and then to add all into all of this, we've seen a great rotation that's begun from growth to value, and financials are in the value camp. So all of this is a reason that we have liked financials and have overweighted financials. Now we've seen a run up there. So, you know, now I think that we've seen a run up. It's a matter of being very careful in that selection. But overall, I would say we still like financials, and I see positive things in that sector.
Okay. I guess today starts a big test for the bank stock rally because JP Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, and Wells Fargo report their results today. And Bank of America, I think, and Citi reported on Thursday and Friday, respectively. We're expecting good news from them.
Yeah, so they always kind of start off earnings season, and it's a barometer for what we see, what we think we're going to see for the rest of earnings season. So here we are again at earnings season once again. So we expect that those numbers in the financial of those banking stocks, the large banks, like I said, they do much more than just banking, but we expect to see some good numbers there.
Okay. All right. I want to turn to inflation for a second. You and I have been discussing inflation for the last several weeks. Consumer prices for March rose 2.6% compared to the same month last year. And just this past March alone, consumer prices climbed a little over 0.5%, 0.6%. And America's consumer prices rose 1.6% from last year. I think the question for me is this like a temporary sugar rush from the stimulus, or is it the start of a longer-term inflation that could eat into corporate profits?
Yeah, so in addition to the numbers that you just quoted, the year-over-year number was a spike of 4%. And so I would say to investors, inflation is here. And all you have to do is go to the gas pump, and you'll see the rise in those prices at the pump. And or if you go out and you're trying to buy a house, you can see what's going on in the housing market and how housing prices are also soaring. So inflation is definitely here. The Fed has been downplaying inflation, and the reason is they're more concerned about bringing down employment numbers, and they're allowing for inflation to run hot. And so, you know, when we look at the amount of money supply, money going into the money supply, we've seen $7 trillion coming in over the last year. And in a sense, when we look at this, it's an unprecedented amount of money supply going into the market. And, you know, when we look at the 1970s, we're seeing almost double of the money supply than we saw in the 70s. And let's not forget the high inflation numbers during that time. So now we'll look at this, and when we think about it, I think that we're, in my opinion, I think that inflation is going to run longer than the Fed is concerned about it. In a sense, what they're doing is just saying, for right now, our focus is employment and bringing employment numbers down. Later, we're going to tackle inflation. So even though the Fed's expectation is that it's a temporary spike, I question that, and I think it's a longer, it's going to have a longer impact.
I think it leads right into the next question. I had an economics professor that had told me that higher inflation is sometimes a good sign for economic recovery, but investors worry that sudden price spikes will force the Fed, in this case, to adjust its loose money policies sooner than they'd hoped, which would, of course, be bad for the stock market. I think my question is it a mistake to conclude that there's about to be a sustained and significant breakout higher in the overall level of prices that results in diminished consumer purchasing power and thinner profit margins?
Well, at the end of the day, most of that is passed along to the consumer. And so what it really means is consumer prices are going to go up. But when it comes to corporations themselves, they can usually pass along that cost. So who knows how much that's really going to impact corporate profits. It's really going to impact the consumer. So it'll have more impact on the consumer and less impact on corporations. What's going to have more of an impact on corporations would be taxes.
Right.
And so so for right now, you know, the other thing I'll note is that inflation oftentimes brings in more interest because there's a way for people to make more money. Because like I said, they can just pass along that extra cost to consumers. So it could actually spur on more activity and more entry into certain markets as prices do go up. But ultimately, it's the consumer that will be hurt the most. Okay.
You know, I have a T-shirt at home that just has the word consumer across the front.
Oh, really? You're taking care of that. You're taking care of our economy by spending. That's good.
I spent $20 on that T-shirt alone.
Yeah. Exactly.
As the president is trying to move his infrastructure proposal through Congress and the Senate, which industries or sectors are going to benefit most from this infrastructure proposal?
Well, certainly industrials are an area to look for because with infrastructure spending, industrials such as, you know, large machinery is something that will be part of that. And then if we also look at the idea of water supply and the electricity grid, those are certainly areas. Any kind of clean energy as well should benefit from that package. And then I would also say, you know, certain areas such as digital infrastructure and certain areas of technology as well. All of those, as you kind of read through the infrastructure package, would be areas that would benefit.
Okay.
Now, what I would also add in for investors is that doesn't mean that all stocks in those sectors would necessarily do well. Then it's a matter of doing investment selection when it comes to individual securities.
Right, which is where you come in incredibly handy in someone's life. So
we research. That's what we research, yeah.
So being someone who is part of a 401k package where my employer would also contribute to my 401k, as an employer, how important is it to take advantage? First of all, as an employee, how important is it to take advantage of an employer-sponsored retirement plan? And as an employer, should I consider matching employee contributions as an investment? And as an employer, do you get tax breaks for matching? How does matching benefit the employer?
Sure. So first, from the employee standpoint, absolutely, any employee who has a retirement plan available that allows for voluntary contributions is a benefit. Even without a match, there's a tax benefit for the employee. Putting in pre-tax dollars that will not be taxed now are deferred with compounding interest and come out taxable on the other side. And by the way, many of these employer-sponsored retirement plans have a Roth 401k feature where if you are concerned about taxes in the future, like I am thinking taxes are going up, you would also want to contribute to the Roth portion of it where you're taxed on it now, grows tax deferred, and actually comes out tax free. So when you really look from an employee standpoint and putting money in over a working lifetime, most of the money that you end up taking out later are all earnings. And that's why a Roth contribution can be so beneficial. And, you know, it depends on your own individual situation, but many times right now we're talking to employees about splitting their contribution, getting a tax break with part of it now, and using the Roth feature so that you have money coming out tax-free later, and then you're mitigating your tax strategy for retirement. That's from the employee side of it. From the employer side of it, the employer needs to recognize that a retirement plan that's sponsored by the employer is a retention as well as a recruitment tool. Every employee who's interviewing, and employees have choices, you know, in the labor market on where they want to go. And one of the top questions that that prospective employees ask is, do you have a retirement plan? And so the answer should be yes. And then the second question is there a match? And so when it comes to either a match or a straight, what we call safe harbor contribution, whether, you know, that's just money put in, whether an employee puts in money or not, or it's structured as a match, as well as a profit-sharing component of that 401k plan, all of those not only help the employee, but they do help the employer.
I tell you, speaking to you gets better every week. That's valuable.
Yeah, but it really helps the employer by saying, look, I want to help my employees. And, you know, I know that that's the way that I see it in my own company, Ed, is that I want to help my employees be retirement ready. And I think most employers want to see that as well. And looking at their employees as it is an investment in them, it's also a retention tool to keep them. And they get a tax, the employer gets a tax benefit for contributing that. So that's a tax deduction for the money that goes into those plans. And by the way, Ed, by doing that, the employer, by contributing certain amounts, it helps the employer owner actually contribute more into their own plan. So by benefiting the employees, they actually can benefit themselves personally.
Oh, that's great. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. And as an employer, and I wanted to jump into this, we were talking earlier about Orange County and the state itself not mandating vaccine passports in any state buildings or county buildings or things like that. But they are suggesting that private businesses may want to think about that. As the owner of a private business, would you consider a vaccine passport, having all your, making sure all your employees are vaccinated, or would you do rapid tests, or are you planning for having employees come back?
Well, we are not going to have any requirements of individuals. I think that that's could be a real invasion of their own privacy. But I think it's an individual decision. We are open and we have been considered essential services. And so, I trust that everybody is being responsible. We've always held to all the requirements that have been in place for us and, of course, would comply with anything that's required. But no, we're not going to have any kind of vaccine passports that are mandated.
Okay. And are you going to have certain employees still continuing to work from home if they choose?
And you know what? Yes, Ed, we certainly are allowing anybody to make that decision as well if they want to continue to be remote, because you know what? It's worked. And not only has it worked in the United States, Ed, it's worked around the globe. You know, companies that are doing a lot of business in India, I'll just point out India because, as you may know, in India, people have very long commutes. They take trains that may be an hour or 2 hours one way. And so that's a huge chunk of their day. And as I've talked to corporations about their workforce and their people in countries like India, they have found they had a spike in productivity. And they thought that that productivity spike was going to be temporary. It's turned out to be permanent throughout the whole pandemic. So I think you're seeing corporations change their tune as far as, you know, certainly allowing employees to be remote. And it sounds like there are certain corporations that are also trying to incent employees to come back into the office. So we'll see where all that goes in the future. But in our office, we are allowing either one, remote or in office.
Okay. I mentioned when we opened this segment that these are my favorite 20 minutes of the week, and I can't tell you how glad I am to speak with you each and every week. Laureen Gilbert, how do we find you at Wealthwise Financial Services?
So wealthwisefinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
As always, Laureen, thank you so much for being part of the program. It's the Wealthwise Moment. President and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services, Laureen Gilbert. Thank you, Laureen.
Thank you. Thank you, Ed. Have a great day.
You too.
Okay.
818, it's the Mornings with Ed show.